It's time for JT the Brick.
This show has been the show of record, Raiders Radio, for 25 years. Let's keep up the passion. We need to reset the show. There's never an off season in the Raider Nation. I've done this rodeo before. What are we going to do? We're going to talk sports. All different types of sports, because we do a sports talk show, mixing in the NBA, mixing in basketball and the Golden Knights. We're going to start talking sports.
JT the Brick.
We have the best fans in all sports calling this show for over a quarter century. We hope that remains the same whenever you want to pick up the phone. You know, we love to hear from the heart and soul of Raider fans all over the globe on the Raiders mobile app. So we're going to be a sports talk show, mixing in the NBA, mixing in basketball and the Golden Knights. My job every day is to come in with passion and energy, give you something to talk about, react to. Hopefully you want to react to it, comment on it, and we do a talk show.
And now,
no bueno.
Here's JT the Brick.
JT back as we continue on Monday. Good to be back here. Hope everyone had a good weekend. Bobby and I just popped outside for a second. Man, it is hot. Where our broadcast studio is, obviously it's in an office area and there's big parking. I had left something in the car. I walked outside for a second. I don't know how it could get much hotter. It will at some point, so keep the pets safe. I have one of my good friends who reminds me that all the time. This time of year, I got a dog at home. Make sure they're inside. Don't forget to lock them out. Make sure there's water for them. No need to be outside. And please walk the dog or your pets in the morning early, man. I was up early today. It was gorgeous. But this time of day, it's pretty remarkable out here. Hope everybody had a good weekend. Tonight's a big night, the Stanley Cup Game 7. We, here in Vegas, are the reigning champions of the Stanley Cup. We are still the reigning champions for a few hours more until that cup is decided on in Florida, in Sunrise, Florida. And it's going to be riveting television tonight, just absolutely riveting. I'll be down at Wynn, hosting as I do every Monday night on SiriusXM. They got a beautiful studio right in the heart of Wynn. You got to see it. It's incredible. It's across from La Cave, next to the buffet on that side of the property. And I'm going to be on the air from 4 to 7. Then I'm going to race home from Wynn. And depending on what happens, because this game starts at 5 Pacific time, I should make it home for the third period and try to watch that. And obviously, I'll be watching the game during the show. But we know what's at stake here. If Edmonton comes back and wins, it's the greatest comeback. And I think it is the greatest comeback of all time. There's been one other comeback anywhere near this in the 40s. This is the new era. This will be it because Connor McDavid is on that team. And one thing about Connor McDavid, as we know, because Vegas plays Edmonton, they come here, their fans, I believe their fans, since I've been here at least, are the best traveling fans to come to Vegas. Do you all agree with that? I've been, you know, for 4+ years, or the amount of years, 6 years now, of going to games here. I think the biggest fan base that I've seen consistently, and Philadelphia comes in big. Philadelphia comes in. The Canadian teams come in strong when Toronto's playing. You see a lot, but nothing like Edmonton. They buy up all the 50-50 raffles. They're unbelievable. They take over Toshiba Plaza. And if they end up coming back and winning, Connor McDavid, who is one of the greats of all time, will fast-forward himself in the early prime of his career to one of the greats of all time. I was explaining to one of my sons last night about Connor McDavid compared to Gretzky, and then they showed on SportsCenter, or I think it was on SportsCenter, a piece on the comparisons of Gretzky to Connor McDavid, who's much bigger and stronger, but Gretzky was the greatest by far and the most dominant player of all time. And on any list of a Mount Rushmore, it's tough, but the two guys, remember we said you can never remove Willie Mays, Henry Aaron, and Babe Ruth from the baseball Mount Rushmore. Well, you can never remove Mario Lemieux and Wayne Gretzky. Then you can go to Rocket Richard, Guy Lafleur. You can go to any other great hockey player in your life. And there's been some great ones, right? Phenomenal goaltenders, Dominic Hasek. You go down the list, Patrick Waugh, whoever you like. I grew up with the Islanders with Mike Bossy, one of the greatest goal scorers of all time, and Brian Trottier. And then you start just clipping off who are the best all-time hockey players. Bobby Orr would be on that list, a great defenseman for the Boston Bruins. But if McDavid comes back and wins this, which I think they should, in the beginning it looked like Florida would sweep in four, it will add to his legacy, along with Draisaitl, as two of the all-time greats. And it will stay with them forever because of the magnitude of the comeback. So this is must-see TV. We know we're a hockey town here in Vegas. I know I blank and moan every once in a while. I can't get a hockey fan on this particular station to call after all we do for hockey on the former station, hosting there and coming over here. I try, man. I love it. I'm going to be locked into this game tonight. It was a pretty good weekend as we recapped earlier in the first hour. I will say this, the Scottie Scheffler win against Tom Kim was fantastic in the Travelers, and a lot of the press is to do with the protesters, those climate change idiot protesters. And look, you can feel whatever you want about climate change. I do, you do. Doesn't need to be on this show, but you don't protest a golf tournament, run on the 18th green, do damage to the green, and think you're getting your point across. So they all got arrested. They're probably out on bail already. But whatever happened, that was riveting television yesterday. As Tom Kim had, I thought, a pretty easy wedge shot from 111 yards. He drove it off the on the first playoff hole, the 18th. He drove it. Scheffler, I think, hit 3-wood or fairway iron. So he was farther back, nailed his approach shot. And Tom Kim missed a shot that we all hit. Anybody who played golf recently all had a 111-yard pitching wedge in your hand. And he put it in the bunker and ended up losing the event there and millions of dollars, even though he came in second place. So what Scottie Scheffler is doing, and his wife was there with his son, and the magnitude of him winning as many golf tournaments as he had, six of him now, this is incredible. The delay as they tried to fix the 18th because of the protesters brought magnitude to that event. It was clearly something that you don't want to see, but the PGA thanked the Cromwell Police Department for their quick and decisive action. And there was no damage to the 18th green, but there was, you know, powder and paint on there, whatever they threw on there. And then they had to make sure it was ready to play, and they went out there and did it again. At the same time, the LIV golfers, John Rahm on the LIV Tour, he had a ball into the water off the tee, and he was upset because flying over him behind him was a drone. And he dropped an F-bomb, and he was going crazy. Too bad for John Rahm, who only took $600 million from the Saudis. We're not talking about pennies here. And he's playing golf in shorts. He's no longer competitive at the level. And Bryson DeChambeau is. Bryson DeChambeau won the U.S. Open, and he played in the LIV golf tournament. But you could tell John Rahm has not been right since he took all that Saudi money. He's playing in shorts with a DJ blaring music behind him. That's something I watched over the weekend. I also saw Caitlin Clark play basketball. I tuned into that game against Chicago because of Angel Reese, and Angel Reese outplayed her. And God, I woke up this morning and all the morning shows and the debate shows are talking about the WNBA again, which is great. Mark Davis owns the Las Vegas Aces. They're the two-time reigning champs. We want them to win in three-peat. But because of Caitlin Clark, the enormity of that crowd that showed up for that game, and then you got a real rivalry going on. You have a real rivalry going on with two players, one from LSU and one from Iowa, which was fantastic to see. So if Angel Reese not liking Caitlin Clark and Caitlin Clark wanting to prove herself, Angel Reese was fantastic in that game. She was the star as she outdueled Caitlin Clark and deserves her flowers for that. She was fantastic. She had a monster game, and she tallied her 8th straight double-double. That's a WNBA rookie record. And she's fantastic. The number 7th pick in the draft had a career high 25 points and 16 rebounds. And Caitlin Clark had, you know, a decent game there, but nothing compared to her rival there. And Angel Reese loves this. She dressed up in her drip as they got her coming out of whatever ride she came to her home arena in. She looked fabulous. All the gals now are videoed coming in with what they're wearing and their fashion before the game. I know they've done that over the last couple of years, but nothing like they're doing it now. And then we saw just a massive crowd show up because she's doing great. So we'll see what's going to happen here. The Aces on Thursday to see what Angel Reese can do here, and I got to give her a lot of credit. It's all been about Caitlin Clark, and Angel Reese, who could be a polarizing figure, showed up and had a really big game. Also, the Cavaliers, according to Woj and Shams, they both say they broke the story before each other. They're going to hire Kenny Atkinson as coach. I'm very familiar with him, met him in the past. He's the Warriors' assistant. He'll be the franchise's new coach. The sides are slated. They're working on a contract here, but as of now, the process was pared down, and he's going to get it. He was competing against James Borrego. That's a pretty good job. So Atkinson, the top assistant with the Warriors, takes over a Cavaliers roster that advanced to the Eastern Conference semifinals and won 99 regular season games over the past 2 years. That's the type of job you want to get. You want to get a job with a good team. And again, they get rid of Monty Williams, who I guess they owe $60-plus million to. I don't know what Cleveland's doing here, but they're able to pull that off. And one other thing or two other things I wanted to mention here quickly, because over the weekend they had swimming trials, the Olympics. I watched the Copa's coming here. The Copa side of the tournament, there's the European Championship and the Copa. And the Copa has Lionel Messi and Argentina and Brazil, the United States. The United States beat Bolivia yesterday, which they should have because Bolivia stinks. And they're one of the worst hockey teams in the world. I've been watching the other side of the planet on the Euros. I think the quality of soccer is bigger and better. Ronaldo in Portugal, the Germans, English, the Dutch. I like watching that a little bit more, but they're coming to Allegiant Stadium here. That'll be a big deal that everybody should be super excited about. But let this sink in before I come back, everybody. The two biggest football stories. You want to talk about it being quiet now? I talked about the Raiders being really buried on the power rankings of Pro Football Focus earlier in the show, and I'll get back to that in a moment. The two biggest NFL stories of the weekend. You don't think we need football to come back? Travis Kelce showed up in London at his girlfriend Taylor Swift's concert, put on a tuxedo, and performed. I don't know the song. My wife's a Swiftie. She was in the pool watching. She doesn't miss a minute of Taylor Swift concerts. And Travis Kelce came out in a tuxedo, performed, right? He danced around with his girlfriend, and that made all of the websites. And then the other one was Justin Jefferson and Joe Burrow. Justin Jefferson of the Minnesota Vikings, Joe Burrow, the quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals, showed up in France, Paris at Fashion Week, dressed up and walked. Not so much the red carpet. They walked during the show. Can you imagine someone doing that back in the day? Now, Joe Namath did commercials for a pantyhose company, so Joe Namath was way out there. Joe Montana's done some commercials too, but man, the modern-day quarterback, the modern-day NFL player. That's what two of the most famous three, if you add in Travis Kelce, I want to make sure I add him in. That's what they did over the weekend. Fashion was amazing, and a concert of Taylor Swift. And as I tweeted out, only the Raider Nation can stop this Swiftie Travis Kelce shenanigans. We're the only ones who can do it, or if someone else can, go ahead and do it. Because Travis Kelce can do no wrong. He's in London with Paul McCartney, John Bon Jovi, Tom Cruise, in a luxury box as his girlfriend's performing. He sneaks out, he puts on a tux, and comes on stage. And all those girl fans who are at that concert go out and buy Kansas City Chiefs jerseys, which brings an additional revenue to Kelce, which is fine by him. He picked the right gal in Kansas City, and more fans around the world are becoming Kansas City Chiefs fans, not because they're winning Super Bowls, but because Travis Kelce is dating Taylor Swift. That is fact, not fiction. 702-365-9200 is the number as we continue on here. Real busy day today, and I want to remind you, and this is great, Raising Cane's has partnered with legendary rapper and actor Ice-T to remind everybody about their refreshing iced tea that's brewed fresh in restaurants all day. Raising Cane's, the official iced tea of Ice-T. One love. Raising Cane's, proud partner of our show. Love it. Love the brand. Love everything that they do for us. Also love the fact that I got up today at 6 in the morning normally to check out the stock market, but I made an appearance on VSiN with Matt Humans and Paulie Howard, once again defending the Raider Nation. I'll tell you about that next as we continue on the flagship of the Silver and Black. This is Raider Nation Radio.
United States of America,
soccer on Fox. I've been watching the soccer. As I said, welcome back, everybody. I think soccer globally is really important to watch, especially if you do what I do for a living or you're a sports fan. It's bigger than anything we do in this country. Anybody who fights that argument is ignorant. If you don't understand that soccer globally is bigger than anything we do in this country sports-wise, I don't know what to tell you. Also on the NBA, J.J. Redick, there's going to be a press conference coming up here in about 10 minutes. Lakers just put that out. The NBA is a disaster right now because J.J. Redick's leaving the ABC ESPN broadcast after Doc Rivers only did 30 games. He left. They ran Jeff Van Gundy out of the booth for no reason, and Mark Jackson. They were really good. They wanted to get Doris Burke in the broadcast. I'm fine with that. I think Doris Burke is very good. The ratings stink. And Caitlin Clark got better ratings in college at Iowa, Caitlin Clark, than the NBA did. That's a problem. Caitlin Clark is a phenomenon. It's a great story. Who has a problem with that? I don't think anybody does. The question becomes, how did Caitlin Clark in college at Iowa, we're not talking men's Duke basketball, we're not talking about North Carolina dynasty, the Wooden dynasty, how does a young gal from Iowa get better ratings in the NBA finals? Hype. How? It's all hype. Because it's similar. You think I'm nuts. I'm not. It's similar to what's going on with Taylor Swift. When you open up the door to a new audience that's massive, Taylor Swift, NFL, Caitlin Clark, young girls, basketball, girl dads, it's going to blow up everything and make more people watch. So that's what we're seeing here. It's incredible to me. It's a phenom. You're not going to see this. You see this every 30 years. Something happens in sports and you go, what was that? How did that come about? You think everybody loves the WNBA? No. A lot of people don't watch it at all, but they're watching it now because of Caitlin Clark. And it's become the big topic of the summer. Or at least, it's one of the things I never talked about much other than paying tribute to the Aces here in town because of their greatness. They're Hall of Famers, my relationship with the owner. So we're going to mention it, but now everybody's talking about it. It's good for the sport, and the sport better take advantage of it. Sawed-Off in San Diego. Thanks for breaking the curse. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, JT? Thank you for having me, brother.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So it was funny. You made me laugh just a little while ago because you were talking about the Taylor Swift influence on young girls and how girl dads, they get to watch games with their daughters now and so on and so forth. It's funny because just yesterday, I was on my way out to Victorville, and I was talking with Lester Hayes all morning long. We're just on the phone chit-chatting. He's a real good friend of mine. And Lester was telling me, he said, Sawed-Off, man. He goes, we got to do something about this. He goes, I'm out there signing autographs. I'm in Modesto. I'm in Salinas. And these little 10-year-old girls are coming up to me saying, your team sucks. And they're wearing Chiefs jerseys. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's crazy. Mm. Imagine, this dude is a legend. He's a great guy, my favorite player ever. And little girls are going and approaching him as he's signing at Save Mart or he's signing at Walmart or what have you. Mm. And they're telling him that his team sucks.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Hey, by the way, with Lester, we're going to talk to him at some point as I count down the top 10 games in Raider history, and he played in a few, but we got to get him in the Hall of Fame. I mean, the stress to get Lester in, he's the next guy with the stats that deserves it, and that's a focus of mine with Eric Allen, Jim Plunkett,
And he told me, he said, you know what, Sawed-Off, before I even blink an eye at Hall of Fame, he goes, Cliff Branch got to get in there. Mm-hmm. And Cliff Branch is in there now. Yeah. And he said, before anybody even talks about Lester Hayes, the judge in the Hall of Fame, we got to get Coach Flores in there. And he's in there now, too. So I'm with you on that one, man. It's Lester's time. Let's do it, Raider Nation. Big up to Lester, man. That's my dude. And Raider Fan Convention San Diego, July 20th, baby. If you could pump that. We're going to run commercials on your station pretty soon, JT.
Good. We'll help you promote that. Thanks for the call. Appreciate you checking in, Sawed-Off. Whatever we can do to help along the way with promoting events, there's certain things I can't promote. You know, we're radio, we're a business. I can't promote your bar or restaurant or hotel if you're not a partner of ours. You get that. But if you're going to a Raider fan event or a convention or you're doing something for charity, right? I know Raider Dad, we got to get him going here. People who are doing good things, We want to make sure we're able to get you on the flagship station to the point where we can help in any other way. As you know, there's a lot of things I do off the air that I'm proud of. Some of the things I mentioned or not, but most of the charity work that most people do, including me, does not, you know, promote it much. But I look at it differently. I like to promote the charity work I do because it can help change lives. If I don't mention it, you're not going to know about it. Like the Biletnikoff Crab Feed, the Biletnikoff Golf Tournament, we're raising money for Tracy's Place of Hope, building the ranch, doing all that. If I don't mention it on the radio, I'm not doing my job. So if you have a charity event, a camp, something that's going on throughout the Raider Nation, and you think it's important and you want to get the word out, come to me and let me know. Slide in my DMs nicely, because if not, you'll be blocked, and you won't be blocked if you're nice. And then you can get in there, and maybe I can help you along the way. 702-365-9200. All right, I'm interested in hearing this. Earlier today, very earlier today, Paulie Howard, a longtime friend, and Matt Humans asked me to come on VSiN today at 6:30 in the morning to preview the Raiders from a gambling perspective. I'm not a gambler, but they like some of the content that I have. This was earlier today on VSiN.
Great to talk to this guy. JT the Brick joins us now to preview the Raiders, Raider Nation Radio, Mad Dog Radio. Follow him on X as well. He's on the Progressive Guest Line. How you been, sir? Thanks for getting up early.
Oh, I couldn't wait to do this. Thanks, guys. Everything's doing good except the heat, the 109 yesterday in Vegas. We'll get through it.
That's tough, I know. Humans playing golf like a lunatic. Hey, we were just talking about this before you came on. Dana White bringing UFC 306 to the Spear. How was the Dead show at the Spear you went to? Dead and Company.
It was fabulous, Paulie. I mean, the graphics were even better than U2, who I saw there. They put a lot of money into that show. And again, it's hard to explain the Sphere because if you haven't been there, you're not going to be able to understand it by just looking at the videos online. It's the best concert experience in the world. It's hard to go to other concerts after you've been to the Sphere. It's the ultimate Vegas game changer.
Wow. Ringing endorsement there. Unbelievable. I can't wait to see a concert there. You were right about this team last year. They almost made the playoffs, and even through the McDaniels stuff, and they still won 8 games, and the below-average quarterback play at times. So win total 6.5. You changed my mind on this team. There's a lot of talented players, especially on the offensive side of the ball. What do you think of the Raiders this year?
Well, I think the Raiders are better than all the credit they're getting. A lot of this has to do with, you know, media coverage. The roster's better than it was last year. I don't think there's any debate there, even losing Josh Jacobs, who didn't play in the last 4 games. So the reason this team is getting no love, no attention, no segments on NFL Network and SportsCenter, and no one's talking about them other than you guys today, is because they don't have a marquee quarterback and they lost Josh Jacobs. Aiden O'Connell played. He didn't play beautifully. He did not. I mean, didn't throw a completed pass after the first quarter in Kansas City, but they beat Kansas City. They put up 63 on the Chargers, and they got themselves back in the playoff race late after the McDaniels firing to fight to keep Antonio Pierce's job. Paulie, I don't think Pierce would have got the job if he didn't win the games that he did in the second half of the year in the open tryout. He has the team in the palm of his hands. I thought they had a gift from God in the draft with Brock Bowers, the greatest tight end ever to play college football, coming in. I think the quarterback debate is fair. I think it's fair to say, is it Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell? And once they decide on that, I think they'll get a little bit more attention.
What do you think happens? Because Minshew's minus $2 to start week one.
Yeah, I think Aiden O'Connell will start because they're going to give him the ball to start training camp. We'll be down in Costa Mesa, out of here with the weather, for a couple of weeks there. And Aiden O'Connell will get the ball to start the preseason and start camp. Now, here's what happens. If Gardner Minshew's fantastic in camp, just like blowing everybody away with this new 12 personnel that they're going to run, and he's better, They'll go with Gardner Minshew, but I think Aiden O'Connell deserved the opportunity to be the starter and get through the preseason. I think that'll be the loyalty of Antonio Pierce, and then if he doesn't win games, it's going to be Gardner Minshew. If he doesn't win early, the Raiders are going to have to make a quick decision on how to fight through this god-awful all-early schedule on the road, stabilize, and get some wins going early.
Yeah, I said a lot there, and there's a lot to talk about. So, Raiders open on the road against the Harbaugh brothers, the Chargers, and the Ravens. That's a tough way to open the season. I think probably would set up for Gardner Minshew, who's got more experience, that you would want him to start on the road in the first couple weeks against the Chargers and Ravens. Maybe not. So, JT, when I mentioned this, a lot of people were like, wow, didn't realize this. Aiden O'Connell in his last four starts last season, 8 touchdown passes, no interceptions. Now, the Kansas City game is what jumps out to a lot of people, burns in your memory. They didn't complete a pass after the first quarter. But the Raiders didn't need to throw the ball in the second half of that game. They ran over the Chiefs and won that game. So my biggest question mark here, I like the Raiders personnel quite a bit. I did the AFC West breakdown for our preview magazine. I think the Raiders offensive personnel is outstanding. Defense is better. Last 9 games last season, they allowed 16 points a game with Patrick Graham as defensive coordinator. Are the quarterbacks going to be good enough to get the Raiders over this win total of 6.5? And is the schedule a little bit too tough? That's the only two big questions I would have here. How would you break those two questions down?
Yeah, Matt, good analysis there. First off, I think the X factor for this entire team is Christian Wilkins. They bring over the defensive tackle. Now that Aaron Donald has retired, Chris Jones signed with Kansas City, I think he's top 3 at that position in the league. If he starts blowing up the line of scrimmage, and Max Crosby, who's still going to be double-teamed, you can't double-team both of them. Malcolm Kuntz had a big year on the other end. Tyree Wilson is their 7th pick overall from a year before where he was hurt. This defensive line is really good, so I'm hoping that they're turning the ball over at midfield. They're getting a strip sack or two more. They're knocking balls down at the line of scrimmage, and then they're giving the ball back to Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew with better field goal position. They get the best punter in football, I believe, 1 or 2. They got a great kicker, so they can pound field goals. But the issue will be, can they run the ball with Zamir White, who played at Georgia? We're not talking some kid out of Tulsa or out of UConn here. We're talking about a beast who ran the ball, who's got fresh legs. I've said this, guys, if you lined up all 32 running backs in the NFL on a football field with every coach in the league and told them to take off a shirt, they would scream and go, who's the guy who looks like a linebacker? Get him off the field. That's Zamir White. This guy averaged 4.6 in the final 4 games when he jumped. He started playing more because Josh Jacobs got hurt. So the schedule is tough. The quarterback's playing in a new system now under Luke Getsy from Chicago. It's going to be 12 personnel with Michael Mayer and Brock Bowers. This guy Brock Bowers, you can throw him the ball behind the line of scrimmage, at the line of scrimmage. He could take reverses. He's got to have a big year. The key to the Raiders this upcoming season is one thing. Will they run the offense efficiently early? Just get the ball out. Just get the ball out to Devontae Adams, Jacoby Myers, Trey Tucker, and both those tight ends. If you can get the ball out and not have it blocked at the line of scrimmage, you'll pick up more first downs. You'll control the clock more. You can run it with Zeus, Zamir White, and hopefully grind out some wins against a few teams where the Raiders will be underdogs at home and on the road.
Mm-hmm. Great, great points. You win 8 games, almost make the playoffs, 27th in points per game, 27th in yards as well. How about, what is this, 1 primetime game? Am I looking at this right?
Well, I'll tell you what this league did to the Raider Nation. First off, they get them opening up, as Matt said, against the Harbaugh brothers on the road. Nice job. Nice job, Roger. Couldn't have the home game. You couldn't have the home game against the Chargers and at Baltimore? Why can't we do that? Is there a concert I don't know about? A boy band playing at Allegiant Stadium? And then, you know, the rest of the schedule. You got Cincinnati on the schedule, Cleveland on the schedule, Pittsburgh again, Jacksonville late in the year, at Derek Carr, December 28th in New Orleans. We'll see what happens there. But the key is, if the Raiders can get a split, follow me here. Chargers won 5 games. I know, Matt, I saw your analysis also on the Chargers. Outstanding. They won 5 games. They're going to be better, no doubt, with Jim Harbaugh. That's a Raider home game. That's a Raider home game in L.A.
Yep.
If the Raiders can steal that one, or not steal it, just win it outright, with Antonio Pierce straight out of Compton opening the season with the Raider Nation in a home game, then Carolina comes in for the home opener. If the Raiders can get the 2-1 out of the gate, I think 6.5 is a lock.
Yep. Okay. How about playoffs? 3-1. AFC's tough, but they're 3-1 to make the playoffs, 9-1 to win the division.
Yeah, I couldn't believe what it is to win the division compared to the Chargers again. This thing, you guys are the experts on this. I mean, how does a team have better odds to win the division that won five games last year, lost Keenan Allen, lost Austin Eckler, lost some of the best players on offense, only because the marquee value of the coach? Okay, hey, look, you got two sides on any bet. I understand that. But look, the Raiders' best chance is a wild card. They play Kansas City, I think, tough. I think they're going to be up for the Kansas City games, but I'd be a lunatic if I came on VSiN today and said they're going to sweep or split with Kansas City. You hope to do that. They've won eight in a row against Denver, guys. Eight in a row. It's hard to win 10 in a row against the team. If the Raiders can sweep Denver this year, split with the Chargers, split with Kansas City, I think they got a pretty good chance for a wild card. Absolutely.
Chargers going to be a lot better, JT. They're not going to miss Keenan Allen or Mike Williams, who were always injured, and their offensive personnel is going to be much better. Their offensive line is outstanding. It's not just Harbaugh. But anyway, the Broncos look bad to me. Do you think the Broncos are definitely the worst team in this division?
Yeah, I think they are. I think the Broncos are going to play better because they got better personnel, and that coach is starting to settle in. But, yeah, I think Denver's in a really bad spot. They almost look to be in a rebuild, guys.
Great job, Brick. Good to talk to you. We'll see you soon. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you. Have a great day.
All right, that was my appearance earlier today on VSiN. That's what I ask our listeners to do, what I just did. I went on another show, promoted the Raiders to the best of my ability on some of the propaganda we're seeing out there, the gambling, 6.5 the win total. Obviously, they don't expect the Raiders at all to have a chance to win the division, because that's fair. That's Kansas City's division to win. But the Chargers have better odds than the Raiders to win the division. Matt Eumanns, longtime friend, he worked in the building here for years. He thinks the Chargers are going to be better. If that was the end of the interview, I would have pushed back a little bit. He said Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, the Chargers have better position players. I don't see that. I think the Chargers improved their offensive line. They brought in Joe Alt, so they have a really good offensive line if they want to run the ball. Anybody know who's going to run the ball for the Chargers? I know Zamir White. I saw him play at Georgia. So if you look at this, there's not much more I can do than just remind everybody the love affair that there is with the Chargers every year, because we have new audience and new listeners every year. People, I've been doing this 27 years, and people for the first time are hearing me today, what's really unique about this business. I just tell them what I know here. But I think the tough part is, if you follow what I said at the end, you sweep the Broncos, you split with Kansas City and the Chargers, that's four wins. Four wins out of eight. I don't think that's crazy. We've done that a bunch here. So four out of eight, and the team's better. Then you only got to win three games out of the next nine to break the number with the bet. Now, what the other people are saying, the people that are saying that the Raiders can't win 6.5, they believe that the Raiders, like Matt, is going to go 0-2. A lot of people think the Raiders are going to open up the season 0-2. That is the word on the street just from the bent-nosed sharps. They're going to be 0-2, giving the Raiders a Carolina home opener 1-2. So that's why they have the Raiders struggling to win seven games. Not everybody hates the Raiders. A lot of the guys in Vegas, the sharps, they're just looking to make money. All they want to do is make money and bet the right side of it. And they think that's why they came up with 6.5. If you put the Raiders at 7, okay, at 7, they got to win more than 7, 8 games. So I understand why that 6.5, 7 number is very important. But I got listeners in our chat who were saying 8.5, 9, 10 wins for the Raiders. I'm not here. I don't get paid to predict how many games they're going to win. All I do is I get paid to sit on the radio and try to stop all the people who talk negatively about this team because they don't know the team. That's it. That's what I do. And this year, I feel like I'm doing it more. I'm doing it more because of the level of just disrespect and the passion that the media has for the Jets. The Jets and the Chargers. It's Aaron Rodgers and Jim Harbaugh that play in the AFC with us. So you can imagine, as I look up at the Pat McAfee show now, they're doing a segment on the Jets. And Aaron Rodgers. Why? Because Aaron Rodgers goes on that channel. Joe Burrow today was seen in Paris walking the runway of a fashion show. I have done a deep dive analysis of Cincinnati's roster to the Raiders. I don't think there's much difference. I think you can honestly look at both rosters and say that the Raiders roster is as good as the Bengals. It is. Pound for pound, player for player. I did it already. But they have Joe Burrow. And Joe Burrow's at a fashion show in Paris today. He's never healthy. He's never completed a preseason. He's always getting hurt. Is he better than Minshew and Aiden O'Connell? Absolutely he is. How much better? Is Deshaun Watson another good example? Cleveland has a better roster than the Raiders. Cleveland's defense is better than the Raiders. And their offense, and they don't have Devontae. I think the Raiders' wide receivers are better. But Deshaun Watson, if Deshaun Watson turns out he can't play anymore in this league, because he's a really good athlete, and he hasn't played well for a while because of the problems he got in trouble with the masseuses in Houston, he just hasn't gotten rolling yet. If he doesn't get rolling, can't the Raiders beat Cleveland? Yeah, they could beat Cleveland. It depends on who's going to play well. And then I look at the Jaguars. Again, a lot of people are tweeting out my comments earlier. Look at the numbers between Gardner Minshew and Trevor Lawrence. And Trevor Lawrence is making $230 million more than Gardner Minshew. Well, I'm not saying Gardner Minshew is better than Trevor Lawrence, but the stats do. Stats say they're identical. Are we going to be able to beat Trevor Lawrence? Can we beat Derek Carr in New Orleans? Yeah. Derek Carr's beaten New Orleans in New Orleans when they had Drew Brees. So there's a lot of games that are going to be make or break. Raiders are going to go into New Orleans, Cincinnati, Cleveland at home, both Kansas City games, underdogs. They're going to be getting points to win the game, but we don't care about the points. We just want to win the game. 702-365-9200. Man, as I led at the top of the hour, it was a pretty good sports weekend. Pat McAfee praising Taylor Swift and Kelce, a football man proving to the world that chivalry is not dead and you're allowed to be pumped up to support your partner. I would agree with that, but I just don't like all the eyeballs that are following Kelce to London in a concert who are buying Chiefs jerseys. You don't think every young girl in London who went to that concert now is not a Chiefs fan? They are. That, you think I'm crazy? No, that's fact. 11-year-old girls in London now who don't follow American football are buying Travis Kelce jerseys.
Good. I think that's a fantastic thing, actually, because every time Kelce makes an appearance with Taylor Swift, he gets just a little bit softer.
I don't want the Swifties to get mad at us.
Every time you see Mahomes courtside at an NBA game, he gets just a little bit softer.
Ooh, Bobby, strong opinions today.
It's the truth. Look at Andy Reid. He's getting another year older. Look at the player they just had to release because he got in that lot of trouble. Also, don't forget, Kansas City is having a little bit of stadium problems at this moment. Mm. There's a good chance they might be moving them and the Royals to Kansas City, Kansas.
Yeah,
that's actually a story.
I think the Chiefs will stay there. But all fair points there. The thing that bothered me the most is when Kelce put his arms around Tom Cruise. Like, why would that bother me? Because if Kelsey's not dating Taylor Swift, there's no Kelce in the booth with Tom Cruise. It's a marketing machine. It's not marketing. It's a machine. We're a machine here in Vegas. You know, opposing fans have been coming and buying our tickets. I won't hide from that. But we're a machine because of the marketing brand of Vegas and what's happening with the Raiders. You see what the hell's going on in Oakland today? Oh, my God. I mean, can you imagine the Raiders trying to run a business in Oakland today with all the chaos that's going on up there? And I love Oakland. Oakland's trending today. There's some insane things happening up in Oakland today, including the Oakland Airport Hilton coming to a close. And that bothers me because there's a lot of good people that work in that building. A lot of good bartenders, servers, people that work behind the scenes maintenance. And that bums me out because I've always had great experiences there. We'll wrap it up on the other side. I'm going to have some of the Black Hole guys in studio later this week. You can get a Black Hole membership at theblackhole.com, lifetime membership for $50. I don't know how you don't do that. And the Black Hole has breaking news in regards to their tailgating that they'll announce in studio with us if you don't know what they're doing this year. Raiders have a new tailgating option. Air-conditioned if you want to pay the money, which looks like a great opportunity for those who have it. We'll wrap up the show on the other side, brought to you by the M Resort Spa and Casino.
Drive to left field. It's way back. At the wall. Gone! Connor Wong for the second straight game. He goes deep. A two-run bomb, and the Red Sox lead it 2-0.
Oh, Bobby's sneaking in some Red Sox. My Yankees are a mess. God, they're a mess. They've lost three series in a row there. Red Sox are playing well. The College World Series final in Omaha, Tennessee and Texas A&M, game three tonight. That'll be 7 o'clock. That should be a very good game. College baseball is very weird to me, right? Every kid in this country plays Little League. Everyone. Or tries to. Then they try to play, and most kids don't play after Little League. Most kids do not make their high school team. They don't. My kids played a lot of baseball. They didn't go on and play in high school. Oh, nothing. Maybe it's because they went to Bishop Gorman, and you got to be a professional to play sports there after a while. But whatever it is, you know, then kids go on to college, and we do such a bad job at the MLB level to remind everybody that these kids who played in college are going to the major leagues. With the NBA, we know Victor Wembanyama, number one. We know Zion Williamson. We don't know these kids in college. They go nameless. Then they go into the MLB draft in the 5th, 6th round or the 11th round. We don't know who they are. It's baseball. It's college baseball. It's nowhere near what college football means to this country. But I got some buddies in the SEC, and it's massive in the SEC. SEC fans love college baseball. So tonight, you would think that this would be must-see television. Tonight, you have the College World Series final. The Stanley Cup final. That's pretty good, man. Game 7. Embrace sports, man. It doesn't get much better than that. And we mentioned Scottie Scheffler and the role he's on. This is one of the great runs since Tiger Woods, since Arnold Palmer winning 6 tournaments this early into the season.
But it goes back, ball tracking down the slope at the left. Doesn't turn right, but Scottie Scheffler is going to go ahead and tap this one. Acknowledge Tom Kim as Scheffler taps it in. Scottie Scheffler is the winner of the 2024 Travelers Championship.
That's Scottie Scheffler making millions every weekend, man. We're not talking hundreds of thousands. We're talking millions of dollars every time he tees it up. This is pretty exceptional what he's been able to do. Pretty exceptional what he's been able to do. So we spent a lot of time today talking about this Raider power rankings with Pro Football Talk. And Pro Football Talk has them ranked number 26. I did my job today. I told you that. Vinny Bonsignore is going to come up next. Vinny has a really big show. He's in for Q. Q's posting some nice vacation pictures. I'll go on a little bit of a vacation next week. And then just trying to map up what the rest of our summer is going to look like here with all the programming that we have along the way. Just want to give you a little example before I wrap it up of what we're trying to do here. We're trying to rank the top 10 Raider games of all time. Of all time. Counting down from 10 to 1. And I'm struggling with it. And I got some people behind the scenes who are helping me with this, and we're all struggling. We're trying to figure it out. So when you look at Red Ride 88, the Heidi game, Ghost to the Post, the Raiders' victory in Vegas that eliminated the Chargers 35-32. First time the Raiders returned to the playoffs in Las Vegas, and how great of a game that was. That's in my top 10. Or it's an honorable mention. It's close. And then we get to the Super Bowls. And we're going to rank the Super Bowls because the Super Bowls will be in the top 5. Well, what order do you put them in? Do you go back that Super Bowl 11 is the greatest game, considering it was the first one and the magnitude of that? Or do you go Super Bowl 18, which a lot of people think is the greatest Raider team to ever play and the most dominant Raider team? That's open for debate. The 1967 championship team, one of the greats of all time, the 11 Angry Men. That's going to be pretty high on the list. But then Bobby and I got a library of information in front of me here. A library of information, a lot of it from Raiders.com. The history that I always have. You know, you look at the Sea of Hands game. The big game, man. The miracle of George Blanda. 5 games in 1970 where Blanda personally won 4 straight games and 1 tie that year for the Raiders. So that's something we're looking to figure out. Where do we put that in? I think one of the most important games in Raider history, the Sugar Bear Hamilton game against the Patriots, where the Raiders won Super Bowl 11, but the divisional playoff game on December 18th, 1976, the 13-1 Oakland Raiders faced off against 11-3 Patriots. Patriots won the game, but Sugar Bear Hamilton hit Stabler late in the face mask, giving the Raiders a first down. The Raiders win. They don't win that game. There's no Super Bowl 11. And then you're talking about Madden losing all of those games and not getting to the Super Bowl. How secure would John Madden's job have been? I don't know. But it's going to be included. The Holy Roller, a very important game, but historically, is that a top 10 game? It was a game in September of 1978. It was a famous game, but how important compared to some of the other ones? How about the Raiders when they beat the Broncos 34-10 on Monday night? Then the Raiders beat the Steelers 30-17. That was the legendary Gannon game with the numbers that he put up. One of the greatest games there. And Rod Woodson. Rod Woodson returned an interception 98 yards. I mean, there's some big games. How about Tim Brown's game? December 2nd, 2002. Raiders beat the Jets and Tim Brown has his milestone night. I think a big game is when the Raiders went to the Super Bowl. They beat Tennessee 41-24. January 19, 2003. Does that make your top 10? And then how about the Raiders rally to beat the Saints in the regular season opener? Set the tone for a playoff season September 11th, 2016. I mean, I'm not even halfway through the games. Where do you put the Raiders' all-time leading points, 63 against the Chargers, in the honorable mention? That's our homework. That's our show. We think it's going to really be entertaining and get you involved. And have something that you can kind of look back on the history of the Raiders. Vinny's on deck. He's here today. And I am out of here. I'll be heading down to the Wynn every Monday night, 4 to 7 p.m. from the Wynn Resort, which I'm excited for that. So a little double dipping today. And enjoy Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. It's classic. I mean, you have to watch it. If you're a hockey fan in this town in Vegas, watch the game. Because after tonight, there'll be a new winner of the Stanley Cup. And Vegas was a great winner. Had a hell of a year celebrating that. Have a great rest of the day, everybody.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.